highlighting the amazing stories from inside the North Clackamas School District. This is the Proud to Be NCSD podcast, hosted by longtime principal and current community relations director, Curtis Long.
To be a veteran is to have endured and survived challenges most Americans will never know. You've come through the trials and testing, brave dangers and deprivations, faced down tragic realities of war and death. You've done it for us. You've done it for America.
And welcome into the Proud to Be NCSD podcast during this very special week, not only in our school district, but across the entire country. As I hope many of you know, there is no school in session on Friday, November 11th, and it's not because of a teacher in-service day or to allow for parent-teacher conferences. Those actually take place later this month. Check with your school if you have questions about those. No, schools are closed Friday, so we all have an opportunity to reflect and to honor United States veterans, our friends, colleagues, neighbors, and of course our loved ones who served our country or are still serving during times of peace and during times of war. Yes, it's quite possible that throughout this week, or maybe heading into the weekend, that your NCSD student was given an assignment to interview a veteran for a school project and to thank that person for the selfless sacrifice made for our country. And that is exactly what we're doing today. We are extremely proud to welcome Rao Middle School Principal Greg Newman, a veteran of the United States Army, along with Yvette Lightborn, a program administrator in NCSD's Teaching, Learning, and Professional Development Department, who is a veteran of the United States Air Force. Greg, Yvette, on behalf of the many veterans we have working throughout our district, from paraprofessionals to district departments to classroom teachers to administrators, thank you for your service and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to join the podcast this week. What does Veterans Day and this week leading up to Veterans Day mean to each of you?
Curtis, it depends on what lens I look through. I think about the fact that I am the third generation of four generations who have had the opportunity to serve this country, to think back on what family members have done and what challenge that is to me, to younger generations in my family to continue to serve. It means an opportunity for me to look back on the lessons that I learned as being a part of the military, what it causes me or allows me to bring to my work today, and to be grateful for those who were ahead of me, who led, and who also taught me.
Mm-hmm. Greg, how about you?
Similarly, I also come from a family of veterans. My father is a Vietnam War vet. My grandfather, many of my uncles on both sides of my family are also veterans, many of World War II. And so my sister is also a veteran of the United States Navy. So in my family, I don't want to say it was a given, but it was something that I kind of grew up with and is always something that meant a lot to me. You know, having had an opportunity to visit many places in the world, specifically all over Europe, and seeing opportunities to see what the Greatest Generation did for our country, and just being very, very thankful for that, but also thinking about the sacrifices that those who have come after us through the military, regardless of service branch, have endured over the past 30 years.
Yeah.
Makes me very, very proud of those students that I've had a chance to share my military service with over the 25 years of my career, who have came to me and asked me what my service was like, and then they made that choice as well. So I'm really proud of what came before me, and I'm also proud of, you know, what those I work with now, choices they've made, and perhaps I played a little part in that. Always means a lot to me as well.
Very well said. And you mentioned before that you're traveling around the world as part of the military. I'd love to hear just a Wikipedia version of your service for each of you. What branch we know, but when did you join, and where were you stationed along the way?
For me, I was 16 when I graduated from high school, so I had to wait to be 17.
Okay.
to go for my first duty station and for basic training. So did basic training in San Antonio, Texas, did my technical training school in Mississippi, was scheduled to go to Germany, but received a special assignment to the Air Force Academy at the very last minute, and then finished in Advanced Air Force Base in Enid, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I joined in 1988, a year before I graduated from high school. I went in a year early.
Okay.
At the time, it was pretty clear that's what I wanted to do. I don't think I was ready to go to college yet, and I know I wasn't. And so again, the military was kind of what I had my eyes on. So for actually a year, my senior year, I was enlisted, and I had opportunities to go to different things to kind of prepare myself for what that next step of my career was going to be. When I finally did graduate from high school, graduated from Aloha High School in 1989, I was off off the next morning, actually.
Wow.
To Fort Sill, Oklahoma, which is where I did my basic training and my, it was called OSA, actually one station unit training for 14 weeks in Fort Sill, which was quite an experience for a kid from Beaver, Oregon.
Yes.
To go to Oklahoma during that time and be with a lot of folks that were not, it was a great experience for me culturally as well as personally to experience a different side of things, for sure. It's running through my head as I think right now. So then after that, I was stationed in Germany. I was stationed in a little town called Schwabach, right outside of Nuremberg, which is in northern Germany, in the Bavarian area. It's actually a World War I equestrian barracks, which is kind of interesting. It was also a SS barracks during World War II. After World War II was over and the fall of Nazism, a lot of the old barracks became American barracks, and then mind you, that was 45 years later, but still, it still had a lot of character that you could really tell what it was. And during that time, the wall was still up, actually, which is kind of strange to say. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in Germany, the wall was still up for a few months. Mm. And during that time, the Cold War was still, you didn't know what was going to happen, and there were signs there were changes, but at that point you didn't know, right? You were 18 years old. You were just doing what you were told to do, which is exactly what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Soon after, when the wall did fall, it was fascinating. I think when I was so young, I didn't realize that I was really a part of history.
Right.
At the time, I had a chance to go to Berlin, driving through East Germany when it was still East Germany, and really seeing what it looked like and the stark differences between the West and the East, and the absolute joy and overwhelming feeling of East Berliners and East Germans and refugees, actually from the Soviet Union and Soviet bloc countries, that Americans stood out.
Sure.
They knew we were GIs, right? And those folks that we were told were our enemy, they were our friends.
Yeah.
And so it was, I get goosebumps just thinking about having that opportunity and to, at such a young age, be able to do that. And at the time, again, it was hard for me to really realize
what you were witnessing.
I was a part of history.
Yes.
And so even 30 years later, whatever it is, it's still something that's not lost on me. I actually had a chance to go back a couple of years ago, brought my wife and my daughter, and went through some of the old areas that we were stationed at. And it was fascinating to see how much had changed over 30 years, and also how much hadn't changed. Additionally, during that time was when the Gulf War broke out.
Okay.
And during that time, being a veteran during the Gulf War, there's a lot of different things going on. I was stationed actually all over Europe during that time, during supply work, getting things over. And actually right when we were about to ship off, that's when everything got shut down. So I was lucky enough not to have to put myself in danger. But during that time, it was quite a harrowing experience for a 19-year-old kid to think about what could have been.
Sure.
Many of my friends did, and all of them, thankfully, did come back.
Okay.
And that was good. Then afterwards, I actually spent 6 years, additional years, in the National Guard, all through college. And during that time, you have your 1 week in the year and your 2 weeks over the summer. During that time, we traveled all over the country and got to see different things and advanced in rank and did all of that thing. But after 8 years, I said, you know what? I think mm-hmm. I'm ready just to wrap it up. So, and then at that point, I was close to graduating and was ready to start my career in education.
Yeah. And we'll get to all of those things. I'm fascinated to know. So you were in Germany when the wall came down. You were there. And both of you answered that you knew before you walked across the stage, if you had a stage at your high school graduation, what you were doing next. Both of you knew that. Why choose the branch that you chose? Greg, it sounded like the Army was a part of your family for a long time. And Yvette, why the Air Force?
Very interested in aviation. So my family members before me flew, but I didn't want to fly for the Air Force. I did learn how to fly up as a single engine aircraft. So I flew in that realm, but not as a part of my military duty. But aviation was of interest to me. I knew before, I'm a citizen of the Bahamas. Mm. And so were my prior family members who served in the United States military. But my mother said, if you're going to live in this country, you will be serving some time. You don't just get to come and absorb the benefits. You get to contribute as well. And so that's how I knew. My older sister chose the Marine Corps. I chose the Air Force. We graduated the same year from high school. She got to go right away, but I had to wait, but I chose the Air Force for that reason.
And could you, could they put you in a plane right now? You would know the instruments and know what to do?
A single engine, yeah. Yes. No, fighter wow. pilot, we
no, we're not a fire.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
No.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. So take me back. You're just leaving high school. I mean, Greg, you mentioned you're coming from Beaverton, Oregon, graduated Aloha High School. And in the next few days, you said you were off the next morning. What was it like that first day? I'd like to hear from both of you. What was it like that first day when you thought, oh gosh, I'm not at home anymore?
Well, I think I can count to two experiences. When, and I'm sure Yvette can relate to this, when you get to your basic training station, it's quite a thing. There's a lot of people yelling at you.
Okay.
Back then, I had a little more hair than I do now, which is none.
Well, we're on a podcast. They can't see you.
I had none.
Yes.
And so, you know, they immediately remove all hair that you have. And then you wait a couple of days to kind of get settled before you actually go to where you are going to be. The thing that stands out to me is just the humidity. It was so hot and humid, which is not something you're used to, and bugs the size of seagulls. That's one of the things that is like, what is going on here? And so, you know, during that time, but once you get to basic, you got to get into your routine. You know what you're doing. And then you realize after a couple weeks that people are yelling and screaming at you. It's just part of the deal. You know, after a while, it actually becomes kind of funny. You know, it no longer becomes something that's like scary. It's just like, okay. But that you make such amazing connections, and I mean to this day I'm still best friends and brothers with a number of guys that I was in basic training with that actually end up being stationed with me in Germany as well. And you know, we get together every couple summers, and we're still really, really close friends. And so I think that's the thing at the end of the day that sticks out to me.
Sure.
Is the friendships and the relationships that were created. And then when I get to my first duty station, I'll never forget it. It is just pouring rain. Like I mean, just you think about the rainiest day in Oregon.
Yes.
Times 10.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Just pouring down rain, and I arrive in Nuremberg, and it's in the dead of night. And I'm like, I mean, I'd never been out of the country before.
Right.
And I'm standing in the middle of Nuremberg, what was West Germany at the time, pouring down rain, just wondering, where am I going? What am I doing here? Huh. And they pop me on a bus, and about an hour later, I show up in Schwabach, and they show me to my room, and they say, good luck, kid. And away we go.
Gosh.
Yeah. I shared a picture with you, Kirk,
yeah.
And that is me on my suitcase.
I noticed the suitcases.
Yeah. To basic training, not what I anticipated, but I grew up in a very authoritarian household, so the people yelling at me or the rules didn't bother me so much being there. There were times that I couldn't understand the logic behind some of the yelling, why we had to fold our clothes in 6-inch squares, why we had to record all of the serial numbers of our money, why things had to be laid in a particular order, but the rest of it didn't bother me. I found it funny that people were distressed to have to make their bed or to wake up at a certain time. Definitely learned how to appreciate the strengths and weaknesses of my teammates. We had someone who was not able to run the 5 miles that we had to run every morning, but she sure could polish some brass. And so when she polished the brass, we made it. So we just learned to carry her in the middle of the pack for the 5 mile run.
Uh-huh.
We made it. We were successful, and she polished the brass. We made it. We were successful there as well. So we definitely learned that appreciation of people's strengths and weaknesses and where to place it and where that goes. And that plays loudly still today.
You both mentioned basic training and officers yelling in your ear. Now, we see that, for those of us that have never been in the military before, you see that on movies and on TV shows. That's real, then. They are people screaming at you. But it sounds like the two of you learned to deal with that, and it wasn't as distressing to you. But the way that basic training is depicted in movies, is that real?
Very real. I will say, when Greg mentioned about the heat in basic training, it was 124 degrees in basic training in San Antonio, Texas. And our drill instructors yelling at us about charging us with destruction of government property, meaning you, if you fall out or get a sunburn it is very real.
Wow.
Very real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was told many times I was going to jail, and I'm like, is that right? So, and that, again, after a while, you begin to kind of laugh about it. One of the things that Yvette mentioned that I thought about is also that teammate. We had, you know, some members of our team that just had certain things they couldn't do. Like a friend who couldn't, we had to fold our t-shirts and garments in different types of ways, and they had to be just perfect, right? And, you know, and I had a friend of mine, he's going to hear this at some point, and he'll know I'm talking about him. he couldn't do it in just such a way, but we were able to kind of help each other out, and everybody got through. And again, it just really spoke to just the camaraderie and
sure.
that was built amongst all of us that, again, has carried us through all this time and through a difficult situations. But, you know, when you have people that you go through particular things with, you become very, very close. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that really stands out to me is that those relationships.
We're celebrating Veterans Day this week on the Proud to Be NCSD podcast with a salute to NCSD's own veterans, Greg Newman of Rao Middle School and Yvette Lightbourne of the Teaching, Learning, and Professional Development Department. So far, we've heard how our home district heroes each had their eyes on military service long before graduating high school and how they stayed in touch with their families without any cell phones or internet. But how did both go from serving their country to serving hundreds of students each day? Plus, we asked some Rao Middle School students what they think of having a veteran as their principal.
He's really positive. I think he's really cool.
And the answers leave Mr. Newman a little emotional. Our salute to NCSD veterans continues on the Proud to Be NCSD podcast right after this.
Are you looking for a job right now? Looking to work in a fun and supportive environment with great pay and a rewarding career? The North Clackamas School District is hiring. We're currently filling full and part-time positions. You can work and make a difference in young lives and education as a classroom assistant or substitute teacher. Apply to work in one of our school cafeterias where our lunch staff serves up big smiles with great food every day. We're also looking to hire before and after school caretakers, custodians, and bus drivers. In North Clackamas, we promise it won't take you long to learn why our employees say they're proud to be in NCSD. Apply today on the North Clackamas School District website or call 503-353-6000. That's 503-353-6000.
And you mentioned going through particular things, and I want to be sensitive to both of you because I'm sure there are some things you'd rather not talk about, and that's 100% okay. Were either of you involved in any kind of combat?
I was not.
Neither was I.
Did either of you receive any kind of higher ranking or medals for your service?
Well, as you go through,
okay.
you get things.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Over time. And so I received one for leadership. At 17, I was a flight commander of 24 women and in Biloxi, Mississippi. And to be asked right away was amazing to me. But I stepped up to the job and the task. And I appreciate it very much today, what I learned back then, to have 24 women ready for a physical inspection in a parade every morning, to march them to school, to march them from school for our tech training, to inspect their bunks, just like mine was inspected at basic training. If something was not done correctly, to fix it for them in the morning so we passed inspection, but to bring them back in the afternoon and say, this is how you make a hospital corner so that you can pass. So to absorb the responsibility as a leader, but to also go back and teach and to be ready at any and all time for inspection or compliance, which is what I do now.
I was going to say, both of you have gone on to careers in leadership.
Sounds like what you do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Both of you have gone on to careers in leadership, whether it's 7th and 8th graders or adults, as Yvette does. That military must have played an important role in that.
Very important.
I'm still fascinated by, you're leaving high school, you're in this strange place all of a sudden, all these new things for you. How did you stay in touch with your family, and how does that work in the military when you're gone from home for the first time? Are you allowed a certain times to contact family? How's that work?
In basic training, it's very limited at how often you can call home, but you can receive mail. Mm. So that was how we communicated. People would send you snail mail today.
Right.
And then after you go leave basic training, then it can be as often as you can afford.
Okay.
Yeah. Back in the day, there wasn't internet.
No.
Right.
There was no email. There was no texting.
No. Right. It was mail, right? People live for packages and things like that. I remember friends and family would send me cassette tapes. you know, of them talking, and we'd use that back and forth,
nice.
So we could hear voices and that type of thing. But yeah, in basic, here's your quarter, here's your 15 seconds, get on it. That's about all you'd get. But again, the letters were certainly quite a thing. And Germany back in the day, you know, you could obviously, to Yvette's point, it's as long as you could afford it, you know, because it was expensive. Mm. And so there were oftentimes you'd go by one of the phone booths and there'd be a line to call home. And this is before euros. Back then, it was the Deutschmarks and Pfennigs. Pfennigs were the cents. Mm-hmm. And so it costs. You could five Deutschmarks. You'd put it in the phone. It would basically give you 60 seconds.
Wow.
And you'd watch it tick.
You could
see how much time you have.
Oh, you could see it
and
going down.
Oh, I got 60 seconds. I got 15 seconds of this person, 15 seconds of this person, that type of thing. But there was a funny story. There was a phone booth that all of a sudden stopped working.
Oh.
But it worked in our favor where the timer wasn't working.
The timer broke.
And so people were able to put in just one single mark and talk on the phone as long as they wanted. And we're like, don't tell anybody. And it lasted about a day before the word got out and they came back and fixed it.
Oh, who told? Somebody told.
It was kind of cool.
Somebody told. You've mentioned living in barracks, the phone situation. I know one thing. I think I could survive basic training, but what would really knock me out would be the food. Everybody knows I'm a picky eater. What was the food situation like? Was it something you needed to adjust to?
For me, for sure. Being from the Bahamas, used to spices and that sort of thing. But this is mass eating. And there were still a few things that I didn't get accustomed to. The gravy on the biscuits didn't make it so much for
favorite.
Me. But we had a few choices. So you could kind of, you know, love cereal and be okay. But sometimes there were some mystery meat, rabbit, you know, that I wished I would have known that's what I was eating.
Oh, okay. So you found out afterward.
Right. Made it.
As an 18-year-old kid, it's the fact that you could eat as much as you wanted. So we were big fans of that. There was plenty of food. But the thing that stuck out to me is oftentimes when we were, when it's called in the field, is when we're out training and we're oftentimes out for sometimes months at a time, roaming around doing things that we did, often very, very cold, weeks out from a shower and all these type of things. And so we would have oftentimes only get what are called MREs, which are called meals ready to eat, you know, and so they come prepackaged.
Yvette is cringing up. She's cringing right now.
The only thing that saved them was these little bitty Tabasco.
Right.
And these little Tabasco things became like currency.
Oh.
Right? If you had, I'll trade you five of these for so-and-so, and it became this barter system for little mini Tabascos, because that was the one thing that would actually add a little bit of flavor as opposed to just eating this manufactured omelet, which was disgusting. But
a really bad protein bar.
Yeah, and then you have to put it on the engine of the Humvee or the 5-ton to heat it
To heat it up a little bit.
Yeah, so you found ways to get by, but maybe once every couple of days we'd get hot chow, and it didn't matter what it tasted like. It was hot. It was the best thing ever. So then you just kind of, you realize that how fortunate you are.
Now I feel even worse as a picky eater now, what you guys were eating at that time. You mentioned before, there were no phones, there's no email, there's no texting. For our students who are listening right now, there are no internet games. What did you do for entertainment when you had downtime?
Interacted with each other.
Oh my goodness, you're kidding.
We played cards, or we'd tell stories, or we'd listen to music, or just hang out, because people were from all over. Yep. So we get to learn about their hometowns and their growing up or their situations and become even closer.
Mm-hmm. Cards, dominoes. I learned so many different games from folks that they brought from their culture and this type of thing. And just, I learned how to play spades and hearts like nobody's belief. And just lots of music and just things like that. It was great. It's, you know, I think about just the time that we spent together when we weren't on our phones. And with that, I think that really speaks to the way that we became so close.
Sure.
Because we really got to really know each other as opposed to just hiding behind a phone. So I think it would have been a real different experience now, having all of the gadgets and creature comforts that we're used to now. I think it would have been a much different military experience had that been the case.
And do you think those kind of gadgets, cell phones, are allowed in basic training? Now, I have no idea. Okay.
Okay. Absolutely not.
Not a chance. Now, once you get your duty station, it's just basically, it's like a job.
Okay.
You know, you have a lot more freedom to do. You go to work like anybody else. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in the field or that type of thing, you've got your weekends and your evenings. And so it's more like just a regular job when you're stationed wherever it is you're stationed. And, but back then, you know, like I mentioned, you were other side of the country, other side of the world.
Do you remember the day your service ended? Did you know what you were going to do next at that time?
I do remember, and I did know I had started working at a management consultant firm, so improving the efficiency effectiveness of businesses. But I do remember it was the relief that I would not be called to a situation of war. And so I was grateful for that.
I do. When I got out, I actually thought to myself, well, I've been doing this every single day for the last, you know, almost 3 years. You know, what's 1 week in a month and 2 weeks of the summer? I'll go ahead and join the reserves and do all that. And at the time, it sounded like a good idea. But once I got out, I'm like, oh, why did I do this? in hindsight, I'm glad that I did because it helped me through. I did know I was going to Oregon State. You know, I'm a fourth generation Beaver. So there was no doubt I was going to go to Oregon State. That's where my entire family have grown up, born and raised in Corvallis. So mm-hmm. I knew I was going to Oregon State. And that's exactly what I did. Go Beavs. And so I knew exactly where.
I think he knows where I went to school. He did that on purpose.
After my time at Oregon State, I knew pretty early on that education was the route that I was going to go into. Actually, thinking to go into to coach football was going to be my path. But early on in education, I realized that I wanted to move to more toward leadership. I actually had a very short-term stint in radio.
Really?
In between.
Well, I can tell.
In between Oregon State and going back to grad school, I worked for The Fan just for a short amount of time. So tried that for a while. That wasn't my jam. So then went and got my master's education and started to teach and coach.
Yvette, million-dollar question for you. How did you end up in public schools, and how were we lucky enough to land you here in NCSD?
Oh, my goodness. That's such a fascinating story. I ended up, I'm a school psychologist by training, and so that's how I ended up in education. I was being considered for another job in Michigan, and my children found out that I had interviewed, and they were blown away. They didn't know that it was a possibility that I would even look at going to another job. And they were like, wait a minute, like, you actually let them woo you? You did an interview? Why didn't you interview here in Oregon, where we are? Four of my six children are here.
Okay.
Here 2 years ago. And so I was like, okay. So I applied for a job here.
Oh.
And the last minute, 12 hours before I was to submit my separation papers from my last job, I was offered a job here and came out.
So it's very possible that Yvette Lightborn could be at a job in Michigan right now had NCSD not called at the 11th hour.
Exactly.
Breaking news here on the NCSD podcast. Love it. Okay, as we start to run out of time, I want to play for each of you a little secret audio I collected from your worksite. So, Greg, I went to RAU this week, and I asked kids, did you know your principal was once in the military, and what would you like to say to him as Veterans Day approaches? Let's listen in. Okay, so we're now here in the RAU cafeteria with Veterans Day coming up Friday, Mr. Newman being a veteran. What do you think about having Mr. Newman as your principal?
He is very nice. I don't really know him that well, but the times I've seen him, he's always smiling and waving.
And with Veterans Day coming up and him being a veteran, what would you like to say to him?
Thank you, Mr. Newman.
So what do you think about having Mr. Newman as a principal?
He's pretty cool. He's like really, really awesome. Like, he's really positive, and I think he's really cool.
And what would you like to say to him as a veteran with Veterans Day coming up on Friday?
Thank you for serving us.
Did you know that Mr. Newman was once in the Army?
I had absolutely no idea, but that's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. And what would you like to say to him as Veterans Day approaches later this week?
I mean, like, he's a great principal, and that just gives me so much more respect for him. Thank you, Mr. Newman. You're doing so many good things.
Veterans Day is coming up on Friday, and believe it or not, your principal is a veteran. He was in the Army at one time. What do you think about Mr. Newman as a principal?
Well, I think he's pretty interactive with the students. Cool.
And now with Veterans Day coming up and him being once in the Army, what would you like to say to him?
Thank you for your service and thank you for being a great principal.
Greg, how's that make you feel listening to some of your students there at Rao Middle School?
Well, I'm a noted crier, so it teared me up.
Oh, I can see that in your eyes right now.
That was very nice. It's always nice to hear that, so I appreciate that.
Now, for people who don't know, you started at Nelson and some internal shifting went on and you were asked to go to Rao.
I was. I had my first year at Rao last year. This is my second year in the district. Most of my career in Portland Public, and then a couple different stops kind of led me here to North Clackamas, where I'm just incredibly honored to be. It's such a great district, and it means a lot for me to have this opportunity. I had a chance to start my year last year at Adrian C. Nelson High School. Athlete Vet and I worked very closely together last year at Nelson. Then Dr. James contacted me and let me know that this is where she needed me to serve, and I am a servant leader. And my response to her was immediately, yes, ma'am, wherever you need me, let's go.
I love it.
And
I love
so
it.
Actually, Greg Harris, who's the principal at Adrian C. Nelson High School, who's also a Beaver, by the way. So Greg had been the principal at Rao prior to Nabil, who did great work there as well. So I had a chance to kind of talk to him a little bit about the school community. You know, quite honestly, I've been a high school administrator for the last 17 years, mm-hmm. which is crazy for me to think that. And so, I mean, I can run a high school. That's something that I think I'm pretty good at. But going to be a middle school principal was new learning.
Different.
And it still is.
Yeah.
It really is very different. But it's been great. I think it really honestly has just, you know, I don't know that rejuvenates the word, because I'm always juvenated. Is that a word?
Yeah.
But it's just opened up new learning for me to serve the amazing Rao community and just love the kids. Such great, amazing, hardworking teachers. And every day is a new day. I joke, I think sometimes I put on my roller skates and I skate on in and I roller skate around all day, and then I eventually go home and I'm like, what just happened today? Because those middle schoolers keep you rolling, but I just love it and I adore it, and I feel very, very proud and very, very honored to do the work.
I felt the same way as 17 years as an elementary school principal. I love that analogy, putting on the roller skates, because you never stop going up and down those hallways and what's coming next.
I get the steps in.
Yeah, I can't believe it's 4:00. It seems like we just arrived. All right, Yvette, your turn. I made a quick trip around the Teaching, Learning, and Professional Development Department, and I asked a similar question. Did you know Yvette was once in the military, and what would you like her to know as Veterans Day approaches?
Hey, Yvette. We're so glad that you're part of the team. Thanks for all your service.
Happy Veterans Day, Yvette. Thank you for your service.
Hi, Yvette. I'm so glad that you're part of North Clackamas. You bring such positivity to the district. Thank you for your service to the country.
What did you think after hearing that?
I'm grateful for my teammates and for their capacity to allow me to be myself, to ask all the hard questions, to hold them accountable. It's not always an easy role. I started off as a coordinator at the beginning in January when I came and was promoted 5 months later to be the program administrator, and so I appreciate that in my current role I ask a lot of questions and people give me space to understand what we could do better.
All right, as we get ready to sign off, we've got many high school juniors and seniors across our school district who are maybe thinking about military service after high school. What advice would you give them?
If you have the opportunity to step up to the challenge, please do. Please know that you will be learning as you progress through your career in the military, but you will take that learning to make you a better leader once you leave. You will learn ethics. You will learn the benefit of hard work. You will learn how to embrace other cultures, other people's thoughts, their thinking, their way of doing things, and it will make you better as a person.
I'd say come talk to me first. It's not like it is in the brochures.
Right, okay.
It's not like it is on the TV commercials. Recruiters are salespeople. Understand that. And I think what I say at all times is understand what you're getting yourself into. There are many, many, many wonderful things. And again, it was the right step for me. And for some folks it is, and some folks it isn't. I want to make sure they're getting a clear picture of what it is exactly they are signing up for. Because once you raise your right hand and sign your name on that dotted line, you're in. So understand exactly what it is that you are signing up for. And for some folks, I've talked to them and I say, hey, I don't think this is the right move for you, just for a lot of different reasons. So just really understanding everything that goes into the enlistment. It's a life-changing decision. For some folks, it's a good decision. For some folks, it's not. So I think that's the biggest advice I'd have.
Well, Greg Newman, Rao Middle School, and Yvette Lightbourne, Teaching, Learning, and Professional Development, is certainly an honor to have two of our own here on the podcast. I know I speak for all of our NCSD colleagues when I say we could not have picked better honorees. Thank you for your service. Thanks for making a difference in the lives of so many students and staff members in our district. It's people like you who certainly make us proud to be NCSD. And thank you to all of our veterans for tuning into this special edition of the Proud to be NCSD podcast. Thank you for your service to our country and to all of our students and families. Thank you for listening as well. And we hope you'll take some time during the day off from school to honor someone in your life who has served our country. Tune in next week for another edition of the Proud to be NCSD podcast. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening to the Proud to be NCSD podcast. In North Clackamas, we know that education is a community effort, and we're so thankful that you and your family are a part of our community. Until next time, remember, there are always great things to see wherever you go in NCSD.